You're now listening to Let's Be Honest with Derek and Corey.
Hello, hello. That music only means one thing. Obviously, you know what this is. This is Let's Be Honest. I'm Derek. As usual, we have Corey.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Tamia, the producer.
Hello.
What a week. Got a lot of things going on. As usual, we jam-packed the show. Got a lot of things going on in the news. We're going to get to a little news here a little later. We got some news on Hulk Hogan's possible return. We got some TNA thoughts. We've got some WWE thoughts. We got a Raw recap. Had a good show Sunday. TLC, of course. Well, SmackDown's TLC. We got some thoughts on that. But right now, what I want to do is I want to hand it over to Corey. Corey has this little segment that we do every week called Today in Wrestling History or This Week in Wrestling History, whichever one sounds better. Corey, what you got?
Well, you know, there was a couple of things I could have talked about for This Week in Wrestling History, like Triple H's Stephanie's wedding, which some of you remember. CM Punk's exit interview, which I could talk about that. But one thing I want to point out, though, is there's something I didn't know about. I read something about Trish and Lita main event in Raw just several years ago. I think it was back then during the Attitude Era. And usually back then you would have had women's matches main event in Raw. But that was kind of interesting. And I thought that would have been a good point for today's subject because, as you all know, the women's revolution is still going strong in WWE right now. And women are now main event shows and
the
main event pay-per-view.
Think about that, and it's funny you brought that up. I got something I wanted to bring up a little later, but actually I'll kind of get into it now real quick just to rearrange some things we had scheduled here. And Corey, you can just tell me how you think about it, but it's funny how you bring up the women. By the way, Trish and Lita had a good rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to touch on that CM Punk thing as well. But, you know, nowadays we have our own version of the Trish and Lita rivalry. We have the Sasha and Charlotte rivalry. Now, with a couple of different things going on here in this rivalry, with the whole Ric Flair thing or the... My problem is this right now, and Corey, like I said, you tell me what you think, okay? But my problem with this is, and I hate to start the show off on a note like this, but Corey, you brought it up. It seems to me that WWE is trying to do stuff too much, too fast. Because, okay, first of all, we had women's first Hell in a Cell match. And then we had a Last Man Standing match. What was that last week? And now at the next pay-per-view or the special, we're going to have at Roadblock, End of the Road, they're going to have a Iron Man match or Iron Woman match, however you want to look at it. Doesn't it seem like they're just trying to do stuff too fast? Like, hey, we're going to be the first to do this. Hey, we're going to... Like, we're trying to be the first people to do this. Since we've started it, we want to be the first people to do this before anybody else does it. It seems like they're just throwing this stuff in.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. Like, I was thinking they could have, you know, held out something this because I was actually going to touch on the fact that the... Women's Hell in a Cell match, it just seemed invalidating now because I always thought Hell in a Cell was the final point in a lot of feuds. Like, once the Hell in a Cell match, you know, that's it for that feud until the next feud somewhere along the line. But now they're just throwing it out the way and they're still going on.
And feuds, we're going to get into feuds a little later. But it just seems like shouldn't these things be spaced out? You know what I mean? Just on one on top. It looks like it's overwhelming. So you're gonna feed me this, and the next thing you're gonna feed me another. I mean, it's just too much too soon. I mean, we're talking three big matches within a month and a half's time.
I'm glad you said that, too, because that also ties into another thing I want to talk about, and that's related to pay-per-views. Yeah, go ahead.
We'll get into that in a second. But and then, like I said, we got a plethora of things, and there's that word. I think I only use that word one time a week. So.
Plethora.
Yeah, and I wish.
Later.
Yeah, I think I can only use it one time a week, so I was saving it for later. But yeah, we'll just go ahead and get it out the way now. We got so much going on, but like I said, I just think we should space that out a lot more. It makes it easier for us to digest. You know what I mean? I highly doubt if back in the days when Dusty had his rivalries with Flair, when Flair had his rivalries with just whoever he was having those rivalries with, I highly doubt if they had one big match and then the next week had another big match and then because it's too much it's overwhelming too soon.
Yeah.
You see, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So, and like I said, I really hated to start the show off with that, but it's something I had to get off my chest because it's frustrating sometimes when it's frustrating when you watch wrestling nowadays and strictly in WWE where they give you so much, where they try to feed it to you so much so soon that because they're afraid somebody else is going to cut into it.
Yeah.
They're afraid somebody else is going to copy it, so they want to give it to you. They just want to just throw it at you. They don't care how soon it is. They just want to give it to you just so you can be entertained. Or they want to be the first to do so much stuff. Let's hurry up and get it over with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think that, it could be done better. But, I mean, a lot of people feel differently. Like for instance, Samir. Mm. Well, I mean, what do you feel about that? About the way they're just piling this stuff on here. It's kind of like piling stuff on a plate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have a big meal, and then you pile the next meal on top, and the next meal. I mean, it's just too much. I mean, you agree? I want to make sure I'm not sounding, because I think every week I say something bad about WWE, and I want to make sure that, I want to make sure that I'm not being, I don't know what the word is, being rude, I guess, or biased or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to make sure I'm not. But anyway, to kind of get the show back to where it was going to go. Since we're talking about WWE news, I want to, since we're already in here, we're in here knee deep, let's go ahead and do a Raw recap real quick. Corey, how much of what percentage did you catch Raw?
Unfortunately, I didn't really catch anything of Raw. Due to the fact I had to work late, so I haven't had a chance to watch it all yet, but I did watch a couple of clips of it, and I saw that Big Show made his return against Seth Rollins. Which unfortunately, when Big Show came back, he again did what Big Show does best. I'm trying not to be that guy who attacks, because I'm a fan, and I'm trying to watch from a fan perspective. The Big Show basically chokeslam Kevin Owens, and that kind of, to me, kind of make Kevin Owens look weak.
By him chokeslamming? Him getting chokeslam?
Yeah, it's just something about Big Show. Like, whenever I see Big Show against somebody, it seems like Big Show's always, dominant. I understand he's a giant and everything, but I mean, come on. This is Kevin Owens, Prize Fighter, KO. I mean, he just chokes him like he's nothing. Maybe I'm just griping on something small, but I don't know. It's just something I've been noticing in Big Show. I was actually kind of somewhat confused on why Big Show was there.
It kind of caught me off guard. I was happy to see him. I wasn't too happy thanks to spoilers, but spoilers spoiled it for me. But
yeah,
I was happy to see him. I mean, but I was just kind of confused on how he, because it seemed to me like they were building Braun Strowman up to kind of be the destroyer. You know what I mean? Like they did the whole thing with Sami Zayn. Where they, you know, they punish Sami Zayn, so here's Braun Strowman. You know, it seemed to me like they were building him up to be that guy. You know what I mean? So now we're throwing the Big Show in here, and I guess that makes the Big Show a babyface because he's chokeslammed Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I swear, Big Show changes more than.
I mean, I like the Big Show character, but it kind of confuses me because every other week he's either heel or he's babyface or he's this or he's that. So it usually confuses me. On another note, something interesting I wanted to kind of get into as far as Raw goes, and I don't know if you saw this last night, Corey, but a little awkward moment between Rusev, Lana and Enzo.
I'm glad you had forgotten about that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing you forgot about it.
Yeah. It sounds like something. Yeah, I'm not trying to do a plug. It sounds like something Vince Russo would have wrote up. Because it really felt like something I was watching, like. 10, 20 years,
Go ahead.
It's probably something I was watching on Attitude Era.
I don't even know if it was that. Like, to me, it felt like it was planned and it was organized, but to me, it just seemed like it, something wasn't right. Like, it didn't completely get over with me, you know what I mean? The whole thing where they were okay, well, like the beginning part where they're in the back and Enzo says a couple of funny things there that kind of got, you know, popped me a little bit about you know, when Lana and Rusev were arguing and Enzo's like, you know, they're putting their business out here for us to see. We might as well be shareholders in their business. Yeah. You know, I kind of thought that was funny. But, I mean, so they're out there and they're arguing. You kind of already see, like, you can kind of already see there's something happening, right? You know, for some reason, these people are 2 inches apart and they're arguing with each other in our face. Obviously, something is going to go down
and
here.
They are
going
in front of Enzo, who Rusev them know that Enzo and, you know, kind of likes Lana.
So your first thought is, oh boy, here we go.
But
what's about to happen?
Together, you were like, it's a setup. But I knew it was a setup when Big Cass came out and was trying to get a hold of Enzo. And
what I liked about that thing with Big Cass is his facial expressions in the ring, right? His facial expression where he was ready for a match, and then they kind of zoomed the camera in on him, and they saw him, like we saw him, like he was preparing for his match, and then all of a sudden he changed to where he was thinking. And then it went from thinking to immediate panic. where he, you know, he realized right then what was going on.
Yeah.
So yeah. I actually enjoyed that. And to be honest, that was probably the best I've seen Enzo since he's been in WWE. That is the best I've seen him, because all these other things where he, where he reads this list of things and they say, how you doing? I don't like any of that. So that right there. Go ahead.
I kind of, at first I didn't like when he read the list of things, but I kind of started growing on me.
But I, like I said, as far as that thing goes last night, I applaud Bitcast because he did a good job of pulling me in and making me feel like, okay, he's gonna fight. Okay, something he can tell something's wrong. Yeah. Oh wait, he's panicking. Why is he panicking? He pulled me in, and that was a good job.
Oh shoot, something I hear.
Yeah.
Oh, something.
And that was a good job. He played that pretty well. And then we go over to the quote hotel. Air quote hotel. I have never in my life seen a hotel that has this random blue light in the background. What hotel has a random blue light?
They might have set that up like that.
I was thinking, was that a hotel?
I thought that was just guest quarters in the building somewhere.
I don't even know what that was. I mean, they set it up nicely, but I've never seen a hotel with a sectional in it. It was supposed to be a motel because it was a small room, but I've never seen a motel with a sectional and decorations on the wall.
Yeah,
like a suite.
This is just new to me. But anyway, like I said, to cut over to that and then the whole thing with Lana coming on him and he realizing he needs to go, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was kind of into it for a second there, and then it just got, for me, it got weird. You know what I mean? Like it got weird, uncomfortable is the word I'm looking for. Like it just, after the whole big cast thing, he reeled me in, and it's like that kind of pushed me away. Because then my feelings on that is, okay, this is a soap opera. Mm-hmm. So this is the entertainment part in sports entertainment, and I'm not really a fan of that. You know what I mean? That was pretty interesting, but I did like the whole thing where Rusev came out and he was pretty much angry and mumbling to himself. Like, he was just really, like, he made me feel his anger. So I felt that part, and I felt the beat down. I felt the beat down that he did I felt like he should have did a little bit more. You know what I mean?
What more?
I like the part where he broke the lamp over his back. I thought that was cool. I mean, like, I thought he was going to put him through a wall or something, or put him through a mirror or something like that. Okay, well, he did break the vase over his head. And immediately when he did that, the first thought, and I said this to you, Tamir, the first thought that came through my mind was, he has another concussion.
Concussion, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he hit him pretty much at the base of his neck, or at the base of his head. So, but all in all, that was a okay segment. Probably the best segment of the night, for me, in my opinion, was the whole Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Ric Flair. Charlotte with her crocodile tears, I guess you can call them. It really was. It was good. That was probably the best part of the night for me. Just in my opinion. Did you see that part, Corey?
No, that's the part I didn't catch.
It was Charlotte, and it was she went to the ring, and she earlier in the night said that she wanted Rick to come to the ring, and she basically told this story, and she basically was making us feel that she realized pretty much what family meant when Flair went to the ring last week and held up Sasha's hand after she won the title. And so it was like one of those emotional moments or whatever. And then she called Flair down. And then Flair came out. And she pretty much just slapped she slapped the mess out of Flair. It looked like it really hurt. And I'm probably sure it did. It looks like she got some pointers from Stephanie. I mean, her and that slap. But I think it's being played a little too much. That part's starting to get a little awkward because, you know, she called him a son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I don't know if it was the fan in me that was like, okay, this is Ric Flair you're talking to, or if it was just the human in me that's like, hey, you can't talk to your father like that. I don't know what that was.
Because that's how I was. I'm like, girl, that is your dad.
That's my first reaction was again. Like, that's your father. Yeah.
So I really don't. I don't know. That kind of got awkward to me. You know what I mean? I don't know if this was something that was planned or if Flair was okay with this, but that got a little weird. And then, of course, Sasha comes out and she could pretty much get laid out by Charlotte. So that was pretty.
Yeah.
So that was pretty. It seemed like a well-orchestrated plan to me. But that was pretty much the best segment of the night with standing a couple of weird moments. But that was probably the best segment of the night for me. I wanted to talk about something real quick regarding Raw. Byron and Byron, Corey, yeah. I called you Byron.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be on this show. Answer me this, Corey. What do you think about the way Byron's been treated on Raw?
What I think about Byron on Raw?
Yeah.
The way he's been treated.
I'm not pretty indifferent towards him. I don't really, have any, major beef against him.
I mean,
know you don't.
Go ahead.
I mean, I know you said you didn't like how he commentates, so you think he's, idiot or something. I don't. Man, I find him tolerable.
I don't think he's idiot. That's a far stretch. I just, it doesn't seem like a fit to me, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like a really good fit. Sometimes it's kind of weird because Michael Cole and Corey Graves, they kind of ball on him a little bit. So, I mean, it gets a little weird, but sometimes it's funny. But I lose track of what his role is, you know what I mean? So if I lose track of what his role is, then I fail to have interest in anything that he's saying.
Maybe he's the thing is, he, to me, you parallel Michael Cole when he first started, because when you think about it, I think JB used to do what Michael Cole is doing for him now, what he did to Michael Cole back in the early days.
You mean like the color or the play-by-play?
You know, just the play-by-play.
I think Michael's a play-by-play, and I think Byron's supposed to be the babyface color. But to me, it's like it's too babyface. You know what I mean? It's just a little too much. It's overwhelming.
Yeah,
to me.
I see what you're saying. Because he does kind of he does go overboard with the babyface part.
Maybe they need that person out there that kind of the goofball to make it seem not so serious.
Well, in my opinion, I'm not a fan of the three people, the three person table. It's a little overwhelming. And see, Corey Graves can do the goofy heel thing, kind of like JBL is to SmackDown. Mm-hmm. So Corey can kind of do that. I really think that the color, the person who is actually, I mean, the play-by-play, the person who is the play-by-play, I believe that person is the one who should be the babyface, you know what I mean? Kind of like the J.R. King era or or the Gorilla Bobby Heenan era.
Yeah, I kind of want to question you. Are you trying to compare them to, the King and Michael, not Michael Cole, but King and JR here, or are you just Are you trying to expect them to be like?
Okay. In my opinion, I'm so used to the way things are done.
Yeah.
So I'm so used to, because once you're built, you've along the years when you're so used to things, like I'm so used to a 2x2 team or two person team. Now mind yeah. you, in a long time back, they had Michael Cole, King, and JR on the table, and that was fine, you know, that was okay. But the original two men were King and JR. You're asking me, am I trying to make a comparison or not? It's just.
What? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering if you were like, I guess I'm trying to say, are you like expecting them to be like Michael Cole? No, what can you say? Michael Cole going to be, but I mean, like Jerry and.
Not really. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not really expecting them to be that way. I'm just expecting it to be a lot. It's uncomfortable to have. When I said that, I was using them as an example. JR and King. I was using them as an example, but really, it's kind of uncomfortable for me to listen to Michael Cole and then listen to Corey's opinion and then get thrown off by something goofy that Byron Saxton says, and that kind of pushes me to SmackDown right now as we're recording on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you say SmackDown because I'm just about to say. I would take Byron Saxton any day over West's name.
David Otunga.
God, yeah.
Yeah, or Jennifer Hudson's husband. That kind of pushes me to this because this. Well, not only the whole thing with the David Otunga, but the whole thing with there being four people on the table. There's four people on the table right now. And the way they explain it to me is, one guy is the host and the other three are the people who are actually comp. So Tom Phillips is the person that's the host of SmackDown. He's the host.
All of them are the host, though.
Well, it's not a host.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a host. This is probably where you asked me that question again. Am I trying to, you know what I mean? Am I trying to compare? No, I'm not. But it's confusing for me to have four. Okay, if I have a problem with three, imagine how I feel about four people on the table. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'm just so used to hearing two people. One person good, one person bad. Boom, there it is. You choose your side. But it's kind of hard because on Raw, Michael Cole. So I guess Michael Cole's either good or he's bad. Which means this. Go ahead.
I guess it kind of helps you to have that neutral person come in because, you know, you might have one leans towards the good guys, another one leans towards the bad guys. And then, you know, you can have that person who's neutral kind of in the middle of the two.
I feel weird about it. Also, while we're still on the topic of Raw, something weird that I still feel about, or something weird that I have a problem with, and these are my opinions, so I'm going to stick with my opinions. I'm just going to be honest. My problem is, I don't think that Roman Reigns needs a Universal title.
I'm kind of glad you brought that up because it's been something I've been wanting to make a blog post about, but I figured, you know, why not just save it for the show? Now, I kind of understand, like, people, like, will boo Roman Reigns. They will boo him whenever WWE pushes him. But the thing a lot of people didn't see is that Roman Reigns' merchandise sales were up. You know, attendance numbers were up. And then something, this is a friend of mine that pointed out back when Daniel Bryan, because I was going for Daniel Bryan at the time. It was like, okay, WWE put the belt on Daniel Bryan, big deal. The pay-per-view numbers were down, the buyout rates were down. He was explaining it to me like that. You know, but hey, Cena, you might not like Cena, but he puts people in seats and stuff. It's kind of how I like feel about Roman Reigns. Like, I know a lot of people hate him, but he does, like, as you say, he does make them the numbers in merchandise, the numbers in ticket seats, I guess you want to say.
My whole thing about Roman is this. I kind of feel like he shouldn't have a title. I'm okay with him having the United States Championship. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Roman does not deserve this title or this title or this title. I feel like he's okay with the United States Championship. But
yeah.
I do not feel like he needs a Universal title at this particular moment. This is not the moment because if Roman wins this Universal title, then in my opinion, it's going to make Kevin Owens a transitional champion. What happens to transitional champions? They're the people who you pretty much forget about at some point. They're the people who you forget had a title. Thus, and let me give you an example. Mick Foley. When Mick Foley won the title, there was this big hoorah. You know, you had the whole thing in WCW. Said, hey, Mick Foley's going to win their title. That's going to put asses in seats. Okay. People turn. Mick Foley wins the title. Mick Foley wins the title, and he beats The Rock. Big hoorah. Next thing you know, he loses the title. What happens? We forget he has a title. Now we're looking at The Rock or The Undertaker or whoever holding the title. Do you naturally, without, and here's a question, and I'm not being mean, but do you naturally remember when Mick Foley won the title?
You know, this is a vague. I do remember Rakal one part where Mick Foley won the title from Rock. I can't remember the exact show. I just remember Mick Foley. He was driving a crane or something. I don't know if it was a crane or forklift. I just remember him pinning the Rock with it. I think he ended up winning the title. It's been so long ago, I can't remember. But it's about as vague as I remember that. I do remember something, though.
Okay, but you remember one of them. Okay. Yeah. Okay, and that's fine. But my opinion is I don't, and this is one of the reasons why I don't think Roman Reigns should win a title. This is one of the reasons. But I don't want Kevin Owens to become a transitional champion to where he was holding the title for somebody.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. That was my whole point in bringing up Mick Foley. I don't want it to look like he was holding the title because somebody else, you know, Kevin Owens was holding the title because Finn was hurt, and now they're going to put it on, you know, now they're going to put it on Roman, and then Roman's going to hold it until Finn comes back, and then Finn's the babyface, Roman's going to be the heel. I mean, I could sit here and I could map out a whole event right here. I mean, just, you know, just a quick run. I mean, so Roman gets the title, Finn comes back, Kim Finn comes as a face, Roman is the heel, Roman loses the title to Finn, Finn gets his title back, Roman starts to lash back out at the fans, Rock comes out, boom, WrestleMania match, Rock versus Roman. That's a prediction right there, which shouldn't be that easy, but it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to disagree, like, on the Rock. I don't really see, like, the Rock coming back in there and throwing a wrestle. And I mean, just because I think he's pretty much booked as far as, like, wrestling goes.
Yeah.
But I think, for me, like, I have a feeling, like, I have a feeling where Kevin Owens might end up going over Roman Reigns And then Finn Balor comes back and Kevin Owens, she's a Finn Balor. Because, if I can say, you know, Roman Reigns, like, right now he's the United States champion. Yeah. I just kind of see a point where you say he doesn't really need the Universal title. But I kind of feel like they can probably build up Kevin Owens to go against Finn Balor when he returns. And there's also, like, there's also, you know, the potential Shield reunion triple threat match they got to do for WrestleMania, which I think they really should do.
Okay, that shouldn't happen.
That shouldn't happen. Shouldn't.
A Shield triple threat for the title?
No, not for the title. No, that don't happen for the title.
Oh, you mean just a reunion?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that. Which we got a glimpse of at Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of other opinions on this whole subject because and we've actually sprouted out into a whole different. I mean, we've sprouted out into different things, and we've really gotten off subject here, which is pretty much something that we're good at. But that is what makes for good podcasting. So at that, we're going to pause that there. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Next segment, we're going to get back on track. I've got the question of the day for you Twitter and Facebook followers. I've also got some questions for Corey as far as Brock Lesnar, Hulk Hogan, John Cena, just a plethora of things. To catch up on. Let's get back on track. Next segment. We'll be right back. Hey guys, just wanted to let you know about our social media links. You can follow us on Twitter at Let's Be Honest 89. Also, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/Let's Be Honest 01. Make sure you check us out. And don't forget to download and subscribe to our podcast website, letsbehonest01.podomatic.com. A segment that was, I guess, kind of confusing. We sit here and I ask a question and somehow we end up in a whole nother state. I have no idea how we did that, but that's kind of what we do here. It makes for good podcasting. But hopefully here in this second segment, we can maintain things, kind of pull things together and actually give, you know, do the things that we mentioned that we would do. Oh, then the first segment somewhere in that whole ruckus over there, we did This Week in Wrestling History. Corey had a lot of stuff there, which was a pretty good thing you did there, Corey, so it's kind of cool. We talked about a lot of different things that I can't even summarize. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they had to do anything with what I asked in the first place. Like, I think I asked a question, and I know Byron Saxton was in there somewhere, and then something about a chicken and a rabbit and a goat. That's all I know. Not to joke in this somewhere. But anyway, so here in the second segment, we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to try something out. So obviously, we have what's called a run sheet. And the way it's going to happen is, producer here, to me, is going to, we're going to go down this run sheet. She's going to give us some questions. And Corey and I are basically going to speak our feelings on it. It's just an organized way to keep things going here. Make sure we give you the best quality. Pretty much is, you know, we just tell you how we feel. So, Tamia, when you're ready.
So, I know that you, Derek and Corey, have seen some things in the news about Conor McGregor and him doing the whole Vince McMahon walk. How do y'all feel about that?
I think it's funny. I think it's funny. I talked to a lot of other people, and they said, they say, oh, it's kind of insulting. It's kind of like a slap in the face, with the whole thing, about him trying to, maybe one day get into WWE. It's kind of a slap in the face, an insult. I think it's funny. It just shows that he's paying attention, point blank. That's just my whole opinion.
I think he's just doing it for attention. He's already shown that he can be a little cocky and arrogant. And plus, he doesn't really, based on his comments in the past about that, they feel like he doesn't really, respect, the hard work that they do. I'm kind of indifferent.
They may eventually let him on the show, on one of the shows. I can probably see him at one of the events. Kind of like what's her name?
Kind of like what Ronda did or something
right,
like that. I can kind of see that. But I mean, for right now, I just think it's kind of funny. I think it just shows that he's he's paying attention. I mean, he's seen it somewhere, right? So, I mean, I doubt if Vince is walking around Connecticut walking like that. So he watches the product. No matter how much he curses it or calls them names or whatever, I mean, for him to see that walk means that he does it. He swatched the product. So I it's funny to me.
All right. Well, what do y'all think about him entertaining an offer from WWE?
Corey.
I was saying I don't like him in WWE, but I just had to stop going to my head. What if he... I could see him possibly doing WWE maybe a match with Brock Lesnar. That's probably how Brock was in that MMA fight instead, but I really don't see him doing anything else in WWE. Like I said, he's already shown that he made those demands from UFC. He's already shown that he can be, cocky and arrogant. I really don't care for him in WWE right now.
I obviously disagree here because I think it would be just that entertaining. I think for him to do a couple shows here and there now. Him in WWE, the brand WWE or the brand Raw or SmackDown, I don't think it would fit there. I think his style would more fit more of an NXT style, just because of the volume or the way they do things down there. I think it would fit more down there in the NXT. What's his weight? Is he 205 or below? Because I mean, if he is, then he would fit in the cruiserweight thing, and he would bring a little attitude to the cruiserweight. But if not, then, I think it would fit in NXT. I mean, obviously we won't see him every week, but, I think he fits in down there. So for him to be entertaining... that offer, I think it's interesting.
He's 145
pounds. Yeah, okay, so there you go.
I was just about to say, let's say he's 145.
Okay, so there you go. So he's 145, so he'd bring a lot of attitude to the Cruiserweight brand, which is the 205 Live.
Okay, well, what would his role would be? In Cruiserweight 205?
I mean, just that. My opinion, that's his role. If not Cruiserweight Live, 205 Live, then in NXT. I personally think he would bring, not to see him on Raw. I don't think that should happen.
Not yet.
But I mean, 205 live, you know, with his the way he is now, I think he'd fit in good. I think he'd be that attitudinal guy that would clash with people like Brian Kendrick, or he would be the opposite of Rich Swann. I think he'd be just attitudinal. Now, with that being said, would he be able to compete? I do not know. I don't know.
I can't see him compete.
I don't know if he can compete. It would be a little weird with his style and WWE style.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
You know, I don't know if he could compete. You know, maybe he could do a special every now and again, like a pay-per-view for them or something like that, where, you know, he had like a fight with somebody or something like that. Maybe like a Daivari or something like that. But I don't know if he can compete. I just know, just top layer, he would be good for 205 or NXT.
Let WWE bring him in like they brought in Floyd when Floyd, like...
Yeah, like a special. Yeah, like a special.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see him doing something for NXT. Maybe... I don't know if me 205, I think that would probably be pushing it a little bit. I could see him maybe doing NXT, but anything else, I really just don't see him in anything else. That's just me, though.
To change the subject off of Conor McGregor, how do y'all feel about Brock and Goldberg in the Royal Rumble? Corey?
Brock, I can see, you know, it'd be perfect for him to, take out his frustration, the upset loss to Goldberg, you know, toss people over. I could see Brock. Goldberg was surprised me, though. Oh, I'm happy, you know, I want to see where they go with this.
I personally feel like I was allowed to. Kind of throws me off because I mean, I was told that Goldberg was going to, it was like a one-off, Brock, you're next, Brock, you're last. Okay. So that means that you're not going to do anything else. You're not going to have another match. That's basically like saying, okay, I'm going to retire, and then you not retire. That's kind of like going back, in my opinion, now, before you say, in my opinion, it's kind of like going back on your word.
Reneging.
So it makes me feel like that was your last match. The match that he had, which was a minute and 25, 24, 34, whatever. That little short match was your last match. That was impressive. For a last match against somebody like Brock Lesnar, that was awesome. But wait a minute, now I've put all my emotions in what is your last match for no odd reason, because it doesn't exist. It was not real. That was not your last match. So you pretty much lied to me. Now, if Goldberg were to win, so this is pretty much like a rematch. Okay? This is like a rematch. Forget the fact that it's the Royal Rumble. Forget the fact that it's, you know, a big event. It's a rematch. So how do I feel about it? I don't know. It's lost its luster to me. So I don't know how I feel about it. How do I feel about Goldberg being in the Royal Rumble? I guess it's okay. Brock's probably been in Royal Rumble 2 or 3 times. I don't have feelings about it.
You got anything to add to that, or?
I can see, like, where he was talking about, you know, where you're coming from about Goldberg saying, you know, this would be his one last hoorah. You know, you got one final, you know, deal, one final jackhammer for Brock Lesnar. But you know what? I mean, it would be interesting to see, you know, what he brings to the table for wondering, I don't really see him like doing anything else outside of that, or I don't see him and Brock Lesnar having another match unless like Brock Lesnar does something to Scoot Goldberg or vice versa. But you know, like I said, I just want to see how the young go with this.
All right. Who would y'all think would be Undertaker's possible opponents on SmackDown? What do you think, Corey?
I'm really shooting for John Cena. Ooh. I mean, I said maybe a couple podcasts ago that John Cena and Dean Ambrose should like have a match or so, but honestly, I think John Cena should have that match with Undertaker because I know he was talking about it maybe a year or two ago, but you know, John Cena's done everything he possibly do, except for maybe like have a match with the other things. But I think that would probably, you know, I would say John Cena.
I would counter what you said with, I think your match should be more of a WrestleMania match. I think that match is more, because I would say if the question was WrestleMania, where would the Undertaker go? I would say John Cena. That would be John Cena. That would be Goldberg. I'm still on this Goldberg thing. That would be the Undertaker's WrestleMania match against John Cena. But as for right now, who do I think, you know, since the Undertaker's back, or supposedly back, who do I think his rivalry would be? I would say AJ Styles. Phenom versus the Phenomenal One. And I think that would, I mean, since we're WWE and since we're rushing pay-per-views, or since we're rushing matches, I think that would be a good match for the Alamo Dome in January Royal Rumble. I see that going. What do you think, Corey?
I don't really see like Undertaker like doing maybe like two matches or so, because he can barely even do one match or so. But I mean, it'd be interesting, you know, see him and AJ Styles and stuff. I mean, he's faced almost like AJ Styles or similar to AJ Styles. It'd be a good match, but.
Well, how do y'all feel about a possible Hogan return? That'd be crazy. Corey, how do you feel about Hulk Hogan making a return there on WWE?
I mean, honestly, like, what Hogan did was wrong, but, you know, he's apologized for it. He's shown remorse for it. But I think his time to return should be coming up. You know, he should return. I mean, because honestly, like, Vince McMahon, you know, he has said some stuff in the past and stuff in the past. So, really, for Hogan, for them to not allow Hogan to return would be hypocritical. So, I really do see him returning pretty soon.
I think it's past due. It's past due. For you to bring him in, he'll be the host of WrestleMania. Then, which for you to bring him in. Meanwhile, when he came in to be the host for WrestleMania, all of this stuff was going on. Okay, this stuff was happening before you brought him back, so you knew about this already. Okay, so you brought him back with all this. And then you let him go because of all this. What sense does that make? So then you find out that all of this was non-existent. It did not. It happened, but the courts found it. Whatever they found it, they found an order. You know, they say so. Pretty much, Hogan won the case. Okay, it wasn't supposed to come out. It was nobody's business. I think whatever he does behind the door is Hogan's business. He has all that respect for me. It's all his business. It shouldn't have come out, but my opinion is it was there before they knew about it. They brought him in while that was happening, and then they let him go at the same time. It makes no sense to me. Like Corey said, it's hypocritical because there's some other things that happened where they took somebody out because of something, and then they brought them back because the case was, I mean, wasn't it not too long ago that they were talking about hiring Moose for NXT, and then they found out that there was a situation with between him and his estranged ex-wife, and there was a pending case or something like that, and then they closed the case and they said, oh no, well, we can't have you. We can't take you. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
So it's all hypocritical. So since we're making hypocritical decisions, I think it's past due.
Yeah, very much.
Possible AJ Styles and Undertaker match. How do you feel about that one, Mr. Corey?
You know, it's like I said before. It'd be an interesting matchup if so. I don't really like the Undertaker. I'm kind of divided on that. I mean, like I said before, Undertaker has wrestled people like or some of the AJ Styles before, but I would rather lean towards more of in wrestling John Cena first before I say AJ Styles. That's just my opinion. I would.
I disagree with you on that. I think that is a Royal Rumble match. We're in the Alamo Dome. I think it's a Royal Rumble match. What do I feel about it? As I just said a few minutes ago, I love the idea. Phenom versus the Phenomenal One. I mean, since WWE likes to make up these terms about, well, what a dream match this is. What a dream match this is, even though they're really not dream matches.
Yeah.
I think that would actually be an actual real dream match. I see that for Royal Rumble. I see more John Cena. You know what you were saying, Corey? I see more John Cena versus Undertaker because they're two people who were built up in WWE. They went two different paths. You know what I mean? They've been on two different paths, and finally they're clashing at the biggest event of the year. I think that's a real WrestleMania match. You know, I like the idea. Sounds good and all, but I think that's a WrestleMania match. So, AJ, Undertaker, Phenom, Phenomenal One, Royal Rumble.
Okay. How do y'all feel about John Cena and, you know, what does he mean to SmackDown?
SmackDown is doing fine out here right now, but you know, it just seems kind of off not being like seen up there right now. It's kind of different.
I agree with Corey. It is weird. It seems weird without him. You know, AJ Styles is really leading the, you know, he's leading the pack right now. AJ's doing a good job. Awesome, phenomenal, if anything. But it does seem a little weird. And not just in SmackDown, but just in WWE, period. If you look back in time tells you that the WWE is kind of off sometimes without John Cena. Now, not on all platforms, but it just seems off. Like, watching Raw, it seems a little weird. And a question within a question, Corey. On Raw, does it seem like you should be seeing John Cena on Raw? Like, does it seem weird to watch Raw and not see Cena?
It really does. It really does, because you know, after seeing John on Raw so many years, that it just kind of seems like off with him not being on Raw.
It's because we've seen it, you know, so long, so many years. You know, it just seems like it shouldn't be that way. I understand why they put him on SmackDown, because, you know, they needed somebody to lead the charge or whatever. But, I mean, what does he mean? And, I mean, what does he mean to it? He means a lot. I mean, what? He's probably the longest reigning or the longest running superstar in WWE history. In my opinion, I believe this is because, I mean, heck, The Rock was only in WWE, what, 8 years? 10 years, probably?
Yeah.
I mean, Cena's been here 13, going on 14 years. So I believe he's, I mean, every Piper, Hogan, everybody's disappeared and went to WCW. I think Cena, for the past 14 years, has pretty much always been in WWE. I think that's...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now you mention it, have you heard the rumors about, like, Cena being unhappy, like, what his schedule is compared to what he's making, or something, like, he was comparing his schedule to, like, what Brock Lesnar has?
I didn't hear the thing about Brock. I did hear about the whole Goldberg thing, about how much Goldberg's making.
Yeah.
And but as far as it, you know, as far as it being a rumor, I feel that it is a rumor. I've never really thought of John Cena as a money guy. You know what I mean? A guy who would complain because he's not making X and X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is just plain out a rumor. I don't really see that happening. But to answer your question, what does he mean? He means a lot. It's kind of awkward without him. There's a lot of people, you know, that's saying that maybe it would be better without him. I don't think so. And if it would be, then if it is his time to go, I think we should end this on a good note. Under the whole Undertaker versus John thing at WrestleMania, I think that should be the end note, if anything.
Yeah.
But what does he mean? He means a lot. It's awkward without him. He brings, like, this certain charisma to it.
Yeah, it was like when SmackDown came to Birmingham. You know, this is actually my first time seeing Cena, you know, in person, because I don't even think he was at the last SmackDown Raw event that came to Birmingham. This was actually, I think, the first time, at least for me, it was. And getting a chance to actually chant, you know, Cena, and by the way, I don't think Cena sucks, but just getting a chance to say John Cena sucks in relation to his theme is just... It's just that charisma he brings when he's out there, and then people be like, "John Cena sucks, Cena sucks." I don't see much chance. I'm trying to get at.
You know about that. I don't really think that the people who chant that actually feel that way, because the same people who were singing that sing or chant that are the same people who cheered him at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I think they just do it, you know, now they just do it out of habit. Like, they did the same thing to Kurt Angle.
Okay, so the question is, okay, I'm going to ask this question.
We need to wrap up the questions, because I still got questions to ask, and y'all just going on a tyrant.
Okay, well,
there's one question.
Okay, let me say this real quick.
Please.
The same people... Okay, so the same people who do this John Cena sucks thing, the same people who do that, probably, chances are, the same people who boo Roman Reigns.
So, yeah.
I'll leave that at that.
What do you think, Ken?
I'm going to have to, sort of disagree. I mean, I'm like you. I don't think they really hate John Cena, but I don't think it's the same ones who boo Roman Reigns. I mean, because I say to myself, you know, I don't think Cena sucks, but I just wanted to say the chant, you know, just so I can have that spirit saying, hey, I said it when Cena came out, and you know, I cheered Roman Reigns. Just throwing it out there.
All right. Next question is, so, okay, WWE is considering showing TNA and Ring of Honor events on the WWE Network. Now, I don't know why they decided to do this, but whatever. But how do y'all feel about that, Corey? How do you feel about that?
I definitely think it's a plus because I don't even think I have any way of watching Ring of Honor.
Oh,
if they were if they were to put it on a network, that'd be pretty good.
I didn't
and if they were to get access to DNA's tape in my very, can I say AJ Styles, DVD set, AJ Styles collection, Steam collection? Yeah, I think it's a pretty good idea. They're branching out to other.
Because not everybody can watch, you know. The look on his face right now. He thinks he's got another turn.
I like it. I agree. Okay. I like it.
Okay.
But, and you know me, there's a but here. That means that things are going to get a little rough here. So you mean to tell me that WWE is going to come in here and they're going to show us Ring of Honor and they're going to show us TNA?
Isn't there like competition though?
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're going to show us these competing shows, because let's keep in mind that competition is healthy. It's healthy for the business. It's healthy for us as fans. So they're going to put everything in one place. So you're going to mean tell me that WWE is not going to have a hand in everything that TNA or Ring of Honor is doing? Which thus kills the art of competition.
Like you're helping your competition.
So do I like... Well, it's not that. It's not really helping, because yes, they are helping, because they're giving them money, because you have to believe that the money that comes from the royalties are going to have to go to Ring of Honor or TNA, which is good for Ring of Honor, which is especially good for TNA, but my problem is I feel like that means that they're going to have to change some things.
Yeah, it's definitely have to be some changes done here and there.
Which means that the things that are actually keeping TNA running, not saying that TNA is really good right now with this side of like Matt and stuff like that, but some things are going to have to change. The things that are making these places work, it kind of seems like Vince is just taking over. Do I like it? Yes, I do. Everything in one place. Am I going to watch it? Yes. I'll still pay, which it won't be $9.99 anymore. I can promise you that now. It'll be a lot more than $9.99. But I do I think it should happen? No. I don't. It's not competition. It's no longer competition. It's just everything being up on the vents. Which means that he's completely taking over the wrestling business. And the way Raw is going right now, I don't think so.
You got anything to add to that, Corey?
Ring of Honor, I consider competition. I might be wrong, but I don't even consider TNA competition anymore. They're just a shell of their former self. I mean, Matt and Jeff, they're doing the best they can. I mean, you got guys like EC3 over there, but right now, like TNA, it's kind of over. I'm annoying to say it's over for them.
All right. Well, y'all heard about Abyss and him turning down a contract with WWE. Now, he said that He did it because it'd be very hard for him to leave TNA. And that he helped build TNA from the ground up, adding that from 05 to 06, it was one of the hottest times of the TNA company. And he just felt like he would rather be, you know, a part of something versus taking a chance of going somewhere just to be a number. So, what do you guys think about that? Corey, you know, do you have any feelings on Abyss and him turning down the contract?
Abyss is still with TNA. I can't even think of the last time I know he's talking about being offered, you know, contract by today, but I didn't even think he was still in TNA right now. But I'm not really sure on Abyss, because WWE had Kane at one point. Big Show. To me, it's like he probably had just been another big guy coming over, and that's probably would have been it. But I would say I'm indifferent.
It depends on which part of WWE they offered him.
JR asked, what creative plans would Abyss have? And Abyss said that he was supposed to debut at the 07 Royal Rumble. From there, he would have started a rivalry with Undertaker.
That's it for that. No. What do I think about it? If we're talking about an 07, because when I saw this, I was thinking more. This was recent. And I was going, because my original answer was going to be yes for NXT. No for the WWE branch, but yes for NXT. Now, you said 07, which is 07, NXT wasn't around then, unless he was going to go jump hurdles at NXT with all the other people and, you know, push wheelbarrows and stuff like that. No, I agree with him then. If he turned it down in 2007, if he turned it down in 07, yeah, that was a good, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, anything to add to that, Corey?
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Derek was saying. Like I said, if it would have been now, going to NXT, I could probably see some, but back then, yeah, because like I was saying earlier, he probably would just been another number or statistic or another big guy coming to WWE and probably would have been used. Probably wouldn't have been used right. Yeah,
I kind of. Yeah. Yeah, it pretty much would have turned into something that wouldn't. It would have got dull fast. It would have turned into, you know, something that they get like Enzo and Cass right now. You know, yeah. NXT, they were hot. Or even the Ascension. NXT, they were hot. Really hot. And then in WWE, they just it's brutal to even see them. I mean, every time you see them, it looks like they stuck their face in a different bucket of paint. It's weird. I agree. Good job, Abyss.
All right. So, what are y'all thoughts on TNA just as a brand in general, Corey?
TNA is dead. To me, they're dead. I mean, I could be wrong for saying it, but I mean, all the stuff that made TNA, you know, watchable in the past, it's no longer there anymore. And like I said, you got Matt, Broken Matt, and guys like EC3. They can only do so much though. So to me, I don't even think team is considered competition at this point.
No, here we go. Because he has a lot to say about TNA.
What do I think about TNA as a brand? I kind of sort of agree with Court. Kind of sort of agree. Because they got a lot going on right now. Lawsuits here, lawsuits there. They've kind of lost their image. They've lost their face. I think the start of it was when a lot of their people, the people who built them, went over to WWE. I think that was the beginning of the end. When AJ Styles left, he opened the door and people could see into what was going on there, and it fell from there.
Oh, yeah.
So what I think about the brand, it was good at one point. Is it good now? I think they're going on somewhat of a slope, where they're going up a little, just because of the whole broken Matt Hardy thing. Not so the broken Jeff Hardy, because that's just weird. Jeff's shown us through the years that he is terrible at acting. But with just Matt Hardy alone, I think maybe they could get legs up under them. But if Matt were to leave, like there's been rumors of him possibly going to back to WWE for Raw, if Matt were to leave, even though they have stars like Eli Drake and EC3, Drew McIntyre, I don't think this is a game they can win. It's not a good brand. If that happens, it's not a good brand. They're building now, but they're just, it's not consistent enough to survive. If we were giving them a timeline, I'd say about probably 5 years.
You got anything to add to that, Gord?
I'm kind of the same with what Derek was saying. Like, they lost their image. It's not what they used to be anymore. And like I said, to me, and I think they've been long gone a long time ago, but when AJ Styles left, you know, that was pretty much the nail in the coffin right there for them.
All right. Well, that is the end of my questions. Thank you, guys. And we are going to be right back with segment numero... Number three.
That's segment three for people who don't speak whatever that was that Spanish. She just said. So here in the next segment, we've got I've got some things since you brought TNA. I've got some things here that I want to ask you, Corey, about TNA. Get your opinion on it. We've also got some games here that happened last weekend that we want to talk about.
Yeah. Do we have to talk about the other game?
Of course. Yeah, we got to.
RT?
Yeah. No RT. But yeah, so we got some football talk, got a couple wrestling things to go over real quick. We will be right back. Third segment, let's be honest. Segment three of the show. After that, great. That was probably the best second segment I've had in a while, actually. Really, really great segment. possibly better than watching people box kangaroos. I have yet to see this video, by the way. Have you seen that
tonight? I've seen it like 100,000 times, and it's hilarious.
I don't know if that's a good thing
or not. Because the dude's dog was in a headlock. The kangaroo had the guy's dog in a headlock and was kicking him. So the dude just ran up to the kangaroo and punched him dead in his nose, and the kangaroo dropped his arms because he was squared up to the guy. He just dropped his arms. It's like, dude, did you just punch me? Like, he had to really rethink his whole existence. And so it's been going around, and now the guy that punched the kangaroo is actually a kangaroo boxer. Might be getting in trouble. Stop. Yeah.
That's a thing?
I guess so, and I'll
show you. Kangaroo boxer?
A kangaroo boxer?
Yeah.
Like, is there literally nothing else to do? And I'll show you.
I don't know, but that's what they do, I guess. You got cockfights over here, I guess. And they still do that.
Wait, they have what over here? What do they have over here?
Chicken cockfights.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what? Like, that. What? It keeps that far away from me.
Nobody's running around.
keeps that far away. I would win.
Or dog fights, they have kangaroo boxing.
So yeah. Chicken fight.
Yeah.
Kangaroo box. I just never heard of that.
I can't get that image in my head.
The only image I get in my head when I think of Australia is lots of different things that can kill you, including giant spiders.
Right? That's all you can think about. I mean, it's a beautiful country, but like.
Yeah, I'm still never going.
You know, speaking of Australia, you know, if you've wanted to know more about Australia, one thing that you could do is you could click on the link and download a free book.
Uh-oh, segue to promotion.
Segue. You could always go to letsbehonest01.podomatic.com. Go to the right-hand side of the screen and click the Audible link. You can get yourself two free books.
Not one, but two.
Uno, dos.
Two free books to listen to. So if you want to know something about Australia, you could go in, you could download your book about Australia and another book about giant spiders, which would be weird, and you can listen to them. You don't have to read them. Just listen. Let the person do it. Let the reader do it. You could download one, and I could be reading a book.
Nope.
Yeah, that won't happen. But two free books. Like I said, let's be honest, 01.podomatic.com. Right-hand side of the screen, audible.com. Two free books only here at Let's Be Honest. Everybody else gives you one. We give you two. That's what we do here. Also, while we're on it, let's make sure that we are liking and subscribing and following over there on the Twitterverse and the Facebooks. So let's make sure we're all on that too.
Subscribing on Podomatic and downloading as well.
That is correct. Yes, subscribing on Podomatic. Yeah, what she said. So let's make sure we're doing that. Like I said, if you're on our Facebook, if you're liking our Facebook page, you're going to start getting blogs from myself, from Corey. Also, I'm going to start doing a video upload every week. Corey's going to start doing a blog. Also, we post the most recent sport updates. We post news, stuff like that. Hey, that's what we do here on Let's Be Honest. So that's the cool stuff that you can get off of there.
We're most active on Facebook, though.
We're very active over on Facebook. So, like I said, make sure you like us. It's facebook.com/letsbehonest01. I made it simple for you. So check us out over there. You had one more question that you wanted to ask, right? That was on your list.
Yeah.
What was that question?
Do you think we'll ever see a New Japan and WWE relationship? Do y'all think that, Derek? Cool.
That's I could see as a possibility, like whenever they do a show in Japan or NXT, if in Japan, I could see them doing that.
Do I think I would? There would be one, probably not. I think New Japan's kind of old school. They believe in separation. I think WWE's too big of a. Now, I mean, you see them with Ring of Honor sometimes, but I think WWE's too massive of a. And I think there was an agreement there one time before, was an exchange where they got Juice and Thunder Liger, you know, for TakeOver. I don't remember what the TakeOver was. I think it was TakeOver Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken, the first one. But, yeah, I don't think that happened. Not anytime soon, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Something that I wanted to get off my chest, and I guess we should make this a segment, something that you want to get off your chest, because every week there's something that's just there that just kind of irks me. And this week in particular, something that I want to get off my chest is over on TNA, because we were talking about TNA here a little earlier. On the side of a lot of things of TNA that's bothering me, this one thing in particular, this whole Aaron Rex thing, and Corey, I know you probably don't watch a lot of TNA, but they have Aaron Rex, for those of you who don't know, is Damian Sandow. Aaron Rex, I'm assuming, is his real name. They have him right now as the King of the Mountain champion, or the Grand Champion, or the other champion, or whatever you want to call it. I think it's called the Grand Championship. He's the Grand Champion, or he was the Grand Champion. But anyway, they have him being like a babyface / heel. He doesn't know what side he's on. So one week he's knocking people out with rings on his hands that's put on the duct tape, and the next week somebody else is rolling him up, holding his tights, which is a heel move, so that makes him a babyface. Because the classic rule is you don't put heel against heel. I am constantly confused on what his character is. Thus, his statement was that when he came over to TNA was that he's a fighting champion. Over in TNA, they do things real, blah, blah, blah. But yet, his character in TNA is less entertaining than his character was in WWE.
Wow. I think they just say that he just needs to come back to WWE. WWE just needs to take him back.
Well, speaking of taking people back, and I don't know if you saw this, Corey, but Cody Rhodes sent out a tweet on, or actually one of his infamous letters that says about how he feels that NXT is doing things right. There's a rumor out there that says that there's a possible return for him, but on NXT. That I think would be awesome, actually, because that would be the perfect place. Go ahead.
I like that idea, because Cody Rhodes, he's a phenomenal wrestler, very good superstar. I really think he's underutilized as a star there, and that they should have been killed a long time ago. But yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect spot for him to go to the NXT.
I think NXT sums up that question of what's the difference between a superstar and what's the difference in a wrestler. I think NXT houses a plethora of talent, which are wrestlers, professional wrestlers, who entertain a crowd for entertainment. I think NXT is really good with that.
Yeah.
I think WWE holds something that is a superstar, which is there to pretty much please the crowd. not entertain them, but to give them what they want. Or to not, you know what I mean? It's not really entertainment. It's something that you can see coming from a mile away is what they do on WWE. Yeah. So I think NXT does a good job of showing us the difference. It just seems different to me. And I actually like it. If I had a choice to watch one of the two, I'd rather watch NXT. What do you think about that, Corey? Like, in your opinion, does it show you a difference between NXT and WWE? Do you think they're the same? What do you think?
There's definitely a difference there. I mean, because when I'm watching NXT, you know, it feels like, I mean, it has some of the WWE there, but it feels more like I'm watching, like, Ring of Honor or a high-profile indie show than an actual WWE event. And that's not knocking them. That's actually, like, what I really like about NXT, because it feels, like, different. It's a breath of fresh air. You know, they have all this talent here who just puts on classic matches, and that's pretty much what I like about NXT. And speaking of which, I really got to go back and watch the last NXT event.
Well, the real is the last NXT. You're talking about the TakeOver?
Yeah, the TakeOver.
That was an amazing show. I loved it. That's the show where Samoa Joe won the NXT title. That's where Mickie James went up against Asuka. That's where Ty Dillinger went up with the glorious Bobby Roode.
Speaking of, thank you for getting me onto that song, cause now every time I drive to work, I have to play this song. I just can't stop playing it.
Yeah, that's something every time I walk into a building. It's like every time I walk into a building, it's glorious.
I mean, I feel like I can use that as my interest thing when I'm walking into work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just, it has to play. Gives you that extra boost about yourself. But anyway, and I think I say this every show, but I love what Bobby Roode's doing. On to some sports news. Please hear the disappointment in my voice. Oh my. I don't even know where to start. Obviously, Alabama played Florida in the SEC championship game, which Alabama beat Florida in a what is probably known as an easy game. It wasn't supposed to be that easy, but apparently it was for Alabama. Are they good enough to win the national championship this year? Even though I'm not an Alabama fan, I am an Auburn fan. I am obviously against saying those words, but I believe that they can do it. Yeah. Corey, what do you think? You think Alabama can go all the way?
I don't want to say it. I've been saying all year Alabama's going to choke up this year, but so far, unfortunately, I've been wrong about that. But I can see them maybe having a fight with Washington, but I don't see Washington beating them. No, it's going to be interesting to see what they do if they play Clemson, Ohio State, whichever one of those teams goes to the national. But it's definitely going to be interesting, but we'll see.
I kind of find it awkward how Washington has to fly all the way down to Georgia to play this, to play the Chick-fil-A Bowl. It kind of puts Alabama at home. You know what I mean? Kind of seems like a home advantage. Then seems too neutral.
They should play in Texas or something. I don't know why I said Texas, but
But then again, it is the Peach Bowl, so I guess that would only make sense to be in Georgia. But anyway, if we're going down the scoreboard, we're looking at Alabama. Alabama beating Florida 54-16, which is pretty much an overwhelming victory. That was the SEC championship, by the way. We had Penn State playing playing Wisconsin, which I'll tell you one thing. As you probably heard a couple of podcasts ago, I am a Wisconsin fan. I've pretty much always been a Wisconsin fan. I'm an Auburn fan at heart, but I also am a Wisconsin fan. Obviously, Penn State won that game 38-31. Clemson versus Virginia Tech. Obviously, I was actually going for Clemson. But Clemson won that game 42-35. Also, you have Washington versus Colorado. Washington prevailed 41-10 in another outstanding victory. With those two games, the way that Alabama played, winning by 54, and Washington winning by 41. Corey, what do you think the score is going to wind up being in this game? You think it's going to be like one of those games that's high scoring, or do you think one team would score above another in like probably 20 or 30 points? What's your opinion?
I'm going to say it's probably a close one. I don't think they're gonna blow Washington away, but I don't see if anything, they probably have a 14-point lead.
In my opinion, with the difference in styles, the West Coast style and the SEC style, I think Alabama would probably wind up winning this game. Unfortunately, I have to say it. Alabama's gonna wind up winning this game probably by at least. Probably by at least, in my opinion, 14 points. I agree with you. So I'm putting Alabama up against Washington in that Chick-fil-A Bowl. By the way, for those of you who are wondering, that game is going to start at 3 p.m. That's 3 p.m. Pacific time. That makes it about 11 or 12 hour time. 11 or 12 Eastern time. Yeah, something like that.
Hey, is it
3 p.m. then? Yeah. So, also we have the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, which that game is going to start at about 7 p.m., which is Ohio State versus Clemson. Clemson coming off of a big victory over Virginia Tech. What do you think about that game, Corey? With Ohio State being, you know, Ohio State, their record is 11-1. Washington is 12-1. So what do you think? Who do you think will win? What do you think the score difference would be?
I'm gonna have to say Ohio State on this one. I'm gonna say Ohio State. But I think it's probably a 3-point lead. Yeah, it's gonna be a pretty close game,
That game's gonna be in Glendale, Arizona. It's gonna be in the Bella's hometown. That game's gonna be at 7 p.m. And I am obviously gonna go with Ohio State. I think Ohio State would come out with that win over Clemson. I know Clemson's going to play a good game because they have all year. They've pretty much dominated everywhere they've been. But I don't think they're going to prevail over Ohio State. The styles are different. And I just see Ohio State winning probably I'm going to say about 21 points. I think it's going to be somewhat of a blowout. Yeah, somewhat of a blowout, which would obviously put Ohio State versus Alabama in the final championship game, actually, for the BCS title. But I'll leave that prediction for when these two semifinals are over.
I'm gonna say Ohio State.
You're gonna say Ohio State?
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna say Ohio State.
Versus when they face Alabama, you're saying?
Yeah, when they face Alabama, I'm saying Ohio State.
If that happens, but because you know how college football is, you predict one thing and then it pretty much flips on you.
Yeah, I had it going.
But we've had a good show here. We've had a. I'm actually loving that second segment. Actually, we may kind of flip things over because that was pretty good. Also,
that's pretty interesting discussion here.
Yeah. Also, something that I wanted to do. I'm going to give out the. Question of the day. And as always, question of the day, you can go to our Facebook, facebook.com/letsbehonest01, or you can find us on Twitter, at letsbehonest89 on Twitter. And you can answer this question. Question of the week is, do you think the brand split is a success? When I say, now, let me explain that question. Do you think the brand split is a success? What I mean by that is, do you think it's a success so far? Okay, I understand that we're in the making of this brand split, but do you think so far that WWE is doing a good job of splitting the two brands, like thus the name brand split? In my opinion, is no. They're not doing a good job. Is it good? It's okay. But no, they're not doing a good job at that brand split. Corey, what do you think?
I'm going to have to, like, slightly disagree. I mean, I know obviously there are some things that could be done way, way better, particularly the pay-per-view thing. And, I mean, there's a couple of things I can say about that. But, you know, for what it's worth right now, I think it's okay. I mean, it could definitely be better, but I mean, it's working because, you know, it's giving some opportunities to guys who probably wouldn't get them if they were all on the one brand because, you know, it would be all focused on the one person or a group person. But I think I'm going to say it's a work in progress right now.
Okay, well, I'll kind of sort of agree with you. I'm going to be a little hard on it until they get some depth. Right now, they're really low in depth on both sides. I think, I really think that they need to, once they get some depth in their rosters, then maybe we can have this discussion on whether they're good, you know, or not. But for right now, the question is, do you think the brand split is a success? Go to our Facebook, go to our Twitter, and answer that question. We'll post that question as soon as this podcast drops. That was a good show. My thanks to Tamir, the producer, for putting the body of that show together, of this show together. That was some pretty good questions that she had. We'll kind of do that again next week because we had some good discussions, like Corey said. And it was pretty good coming off of that big rant from the first segment. That was just rough. We brought a lot into the show today. It was a pretty good show, in my opinion. Do you have anything, Corey, you wanted to bring up, or are we good?
Hey, just take things slightly off base here. If any of you guys have not seen Doctor Strange, go see it.
We're shamelessly plugging other people's show here. Tamia, do you have anything? You good? Anything you want to get off your chest?
Ooh. No.
All right. Well, for Tamia as the producer, for Corey, I'm Derek. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Take it easy.